Now we'll read from Colossians 1, verses 15 to 20. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything, in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made things we can see and things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross.
Hi, my name's Ryan, and I'm one of the pastors here at Living Waters. Thank you for joining us today. It's my pleasure to be able to bring our next message in our series called Essentials. This here is my camera. It's not a particularly fancy camera. In fact, it's the beginner version of this type of camera. And it's getting kind of old. It's 8 years old now. I got it originally to take pictures of my kids as they were growing up. For those of you who know me, you know that artistic expression is not my strong point. But a couple years ago, I got looking at my camera and I thought, you know what? Here's a potential way for me to express myself artistically through photography. And so I began to take pictures. But after about a year, I got really frustrated. I wasn't able to capture the images that I was hoping to. And in talking with a friend, they suggested that I actually spend a little bit more money and instead of using the lens that came with the camera, to purchase another one that might serve me better. And so I did that. It's the lens that's on this camera here. The original lens that came with the camera was a zoom lens. You could zoom it in and zoom it out. This lens doesn't do that. If I want to zoom in, I have to walk towards the object that I'm taking a picture of. If I want to zoom out, I have to walk away from it. However, this lens has changed my view of photography. Rather than being frustrated with it, I'm actually hopeful that I am going to be able to get the image that I want. The lens is really important in photography. It helps frame the photo that you're trying to take. It also brings the necessary clarity in being able to focus in the right way to bring that image to life. This is a great way to see our essential series as well. We've shared on creation for the past 2 weeks, and we're going to share on grace, spirit, body, and future. But for this week and next week, we're going to share on Jesus. So maybe the best questions to answer today would be, who is Jesus and why Jesus? Let's start with the 2 weeks on creation. To use photography language, creation forms the frame in which we see Jesus. We heard over the past 2 weeks that there's an inherent goodness in creation because it's God's creation, and he said that it was good. We heard that God is not done creating and renewing. We heard that God can be in creation as its maker, but he is differentiated from it. And we heard that we are reflections of God. And so God resides in and he renews the space that we are in. This renewal is happening from the inside out. And so Jesus had a physical presence to carry out this renewal. Jesus isn't trying to get away from his creation. He's trying to be in his creation. So who is Jesus? Well, a great place to start is in the scripture that Lynn read for us this morning, this beautiful poetic stanza in Colossians chapter 1. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. To practically bring that big statement into something that's more palatable, when we have questions about God, like, who is God? What is God like? What is God doing? When we have these questions, we can look to Jesus. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. As Colossians also says, is that Jesus is above all creation. This doesn't mean that he was born first. Rather, this means that he has claim to and authority over and presides over all of creation. It's similar in its reference to the culture of the Old Testament and in the first century, that the firstborn would have claim over all that their father had. So the question of who is Jesus is also a question of who is God. So why Jesus? Who is Jesus? I think today we can take a look at two stories about Jesus to answer these questions. The first is found in Mark chapter 4, and it's the story of Jesus calming the wind and the waves. So Jesus and his disciples in the evening had headed out on a boat. And in this, Jesus had fallen asleep at the back of the boat, and a storm had risen up, and the wind was threatening to capsize the boat, and the waves were coming over the side, and the disciples were terrified. And so they woke up Jesus, and they said, "Jesus, don't you even care that we're about to die?" And Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves, and they stop. And then he speaks life to the disciples. But the disciples, in some ways, are even more terrified because they're looking at Jesus and they're going, "Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Jesus came to do the things that only God could do. We see in Jesus that his arm is not too short. What does that statement mean? I'm reminded of when I was younger and I was playing hockey. That makes me sound really old. I can still play hockey. In fact, considering the Super Bowl last week, maybe I'm actually a better hockey player now. But I remember back, I had started playing for a new team. I played defense. And so I had a new defensive partner. And we played the first game together and we had a fantastic game. No goals were scored against us, and we were actually able to be a part of a few goals being scored for us. And after the game, we were sitting in the dressing room together, having fun with the guys. And he looked over and he said, "Ryan, great game today. It was fun to play with you." And I said, "Yeah, likewise. Thanks for being my defensive partner." And he looked at me and he said, "Man, you have the wingspan of an albatross." What he meant by that is that I have long arms and I had a long hockey stick. And I know some of you are asking the question, and so I did figure it out. No, I don't have the wingspan of an albatross. An albatross, the wandering albatross, actually has a wingspan of up to 12 feet. I do not have that big of a wingspan. However, to answer your curiosity, I did measure. And from my shoulder to the end of my hand is 2.5 feet, just over 2.5 feet, actually. And my hockey stick is just over 5.5 feet, which means that if I were to put my arm out with my hockey stick, I'm almost 8.5 feet away. This makes it really hard for somebody to get around me because I have 8.5 feet one way, 8.5 feet the other way. The wingspan of an albatross, perhaps. However, every once in a while, there was a player who was fast enough or strong enough to get past the albatross. Jesus is showing us in this picture, in this instance, that although he may not show up in the way and with the timing that you expect him to, he will not reach out to you and come up short. He's all powerful. His arm is not too short. He has authority over creation. The next story I would point us to is in Luke chapter 19. It's the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Tax collectors in society at that point in time were despicable. They took advantage of people both financially and in any way they can in order to build up wealth for themselves. They were considered the worst of society. And so Zacchaeus had heard that Jesus was coming to town. And so Zacchaeus climbed up in a tree so that he could see over the crowds and see Jesus. Well, as Jesus walked by, he saw Zacchaeus up in the tree. And Jesus looked at Zacchaeus and he said, "Zacchaeus, why don't you come down from that tree and let's go and have a meal together." You see, Jesus sees this despicable man, the worst of the worst in society. And what does Jesus do? He loves him. And this isn't the only instance that this happens. Jesus has dinner with tax collectors more than we would probably be comfortable with. He turns water into wine at a wedding that has a serious party happening at it. And he sits several times and has meaningful conversations with people of ill repute. Why? It's because we are created in his image. I am, and you are. And it was good. When Jesus looked at Zacchaeus, when he looked at Thomas, the doubting disciple, when he looked at those of ill repute that he was sitting with and having discussions with, when Jesus looks at me, when he looks at you, his thoughts are, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. Living Waters, hear me today. You are beautiful. Now, let's not get carried away without a bit of a check-in. You are beautiful. God has created you and he has said, it is good. But we are also a little frayed at the edges. I don't think I'm going too far in saying that I am far from perfect. And I think that you would be able to identify with that statement as well. But when Jesus looks at us, he doesn't see us as a lost cause. Rather, he sees us as a redemption story that is about to happen and about to continually happen. So Jesus doesn't see you as a lost cause. He sees you as a redemption story. He looks at the flaws and goes, I'm going to make a difference there in their life. And that is going to continually happen because they are in my image. So my camera needed a new lens for me to be able to create the art that I wanted to, or let's face it, at least have a hope of creating the art that I wanted to. Today, I wonder if our view of Jesus needs a new lens. A lens that will help us focus on the right things during these turbulent and challenging times that we're in. This new lens would help us to understand who we are as being created in God's image. This new lens would also help us to understand that Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God, which means that what we see is that Jesus' arm is not too short. He is powerful enough to calm the natural elements, so he was powerful enough to move in that situation in your life right now. What we see in Jesus is that he cares. We are his creation. And your brokenness today, put into the hands of Jesus, will be your crown when your story of redemption is complete. Living Waters, we live in challenging times. There's no doubt about that. But now is not the time to shy away. Now is not the time to be lacking in faith. Jesus is on the move. His arm is not too short. His heart is oriented towards you and your renewal story today. So as we conclude, and we have another song of worship, and we have a baby dedication. Baby dedications are the best. I have two questions that I would ask that you would be willing to ask yourself each day this week. So if you could, why don't you grab a pencil or a pen and a piece of paper? Or maybe you grab your device and be ready to type these questions in. And I'd love for you to put them on your desktop or put them on the mirror in your bathroom or on the dashboard of your car, not over the speedometer, obviously. Here's the questions. First question. Do you believe, phrase it like this, do I believe that in the situation that I am facing today, that Jesus is powerful enough to move in them? Let me read that question again. Do I believe that in the situations that I am facing today, that Jesus is powerful enough to move in them? Second question. Do I believe that in the situations that I am facing today, that Jesus sees the brokenness and sees it as a redemption story in the making? Let me read that one again as well. Do I believe that in the situations that I am facing today, that Jesus sees the brokenness and sees it as a redemption story in the making? Living Waters, my heart and my prayer for you this week is that Jesus will reveal himself to you as you ask yourself these questions each day this week. So why don't you take a moment, turn up the volume on the device that you're watching on, and worship along with us in Jesus, the visible image of the invisible God.